Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris. With me, as always, is my co-host RJ Sines.
Hello, Governor.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and why did the chicken cross the road?
He was committing suicide.
What?
Yes, you don't know that?
No, that's not the joke. Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side.
Yeah, what the heck do you think that means, Ben? Like, he's not going on the other side of the road. It's a double meaning.
You're saying to get to the other side of existence?
Yes. For our entire lives,
it is not the
we have
line.
Been lied to. This is a dark joke. This isn't just like, oh, get it? You're going to go to the other side of the road. Because that doesn't even make any sense.
Yes, it does.
That's just like, okay, yeah, I get it. But
it's
like,
obvious, and that's the
reason line. It's like the golden standard of jokes is because it's a dark, twisted suicide joke.
No, this joke is laughing at you because the punchline is to get to the other side, meaning you've thought too hard about it. The answer is the simplest answer possible. It's just to get to the other side. And you go, oh, ha, ha, ha. And now you've gone so far as to think way too hard about it, as to interpret the other side as, wait, where does he go? Heaven or hell?
It's just the other side, man. We don't know.
He's in purgatory.
chicken purgatory. He's just in Colonel Sanders' kitchen.
Forever in Colonel
Forever,
Sanders'
just
freezer.
Sitting in the freezer. All right.
Anyway, we're off to an excellent start. Today, we're talking about why is Ben's birthday funny?
Record scratch noise. Wait, what?
You know what I'm talking about. Why is my birthday funny?
Yeah, so today we decided that the best way to celebrate Ben's birthday is to give him a free pass and complete control over the podcast topic this week.
Excellent. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to talk about the good stuff. This week is actually more of a study in nostalgia.
Ooh.
We'll get into what that means.
That's a buzzword for you lately, I think.
More. Later. But first, RJ, my co-host, he's going to take us through the wonderful world of comedy news.
News. Very good. So some interesting developments in television news. The show Conan on TBS.
Starring
Conan O'Brien.
Nice.
Well, the CEO of TBS just recently revealed that they are planning, or they're in talks of switching Conan from a nightly, every single night show, which is typical,
okay,
to a weekly 1 hour show, which is very different than the traditional, like, he's up with the late night hosts, like Fallon.
Do they last longer than an hour? I don't understand what a 1 hour show is.
It's just like a weekly 1 hour. Like, it's instead of a.
So instead of every night, just a weekly one.
Right, just once a week. Samantha Bee is Samantha Bee, Full Frontal Samantha Bee on TBS. She has a once a week, weekly show. But one of the things he had said in the interview, the CEO, John Martin, he just said that late night is getting too crowded, and not that Conan is doing poorly in the ratings. He's actually doing very well, and he's holding his own. But they're kind of doing this to, like, preface, you know, maybe that the market is oversaturated, and they kind of want to beat it to the punch, so when things start falling, they still have the upper hand because they haven't spent too much money on nightly productions.
Okay.
So this could end up opening the door for more fun things for Conan, because he's been able to go to, like, Germany and Cuba. So, like, they're one shot kind of, like, overseas shows, or, like, he goes to New York or Chicago. So maybe he's able to do more of those types of things, which is, like, unique. And I don't know, it made me really think about, like, the late night format in general and the future of that, because we've had this for, you know, almost half a century, maybe more.
Right. It's a staple of television now.
Yeah, it's a staple of television, and every network show and their grandma has one or two late night hosts all doing the same bit, where you got your black suit, you have a celebrity who's promoting a movie or a book or some other thing, and they come out and you have them, like, you know, lip sync with you, or you have them play beer pong with you, or you have them reveal a interesting and scary story about their past life and then do celebrity impressions with them. Like, that's just the typical format.
Yeah, that sounds just like the Jack Parr show.
Yes. Look at this stick, see? Yeah, it's come a long way since then.
Well, yeah, it's evolved a little bit.
But anyways, what do you think? You think this is going to change anything? You think people are going to be more geared towards this once a week kind of format?
Yeah, I mean, I think Conan as his separate entity, that's more, he's more geared towards that 1 hour show where he's going to bring in his bits and they will be fresher than they were when it was every single night. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Not that he was doing all of his bits every single night, but I don't know. I just think it'll give us a little bit more of a chance to breathe. Not that you didn't need that from Conan, but
maybe some creative room too. I don't know. Yeah. 'Cause he kind of does his own thing on right. TBS anyways.
Conan is cynical. He's physical comedy. He's at his best when it's, you know, something that's happening live right in front of you, and he's able to like latch on to somebody with a quirky personality and just either like make fun of them like very subtly, or he makes fun of himself, like he right. can be the idiot.
Right. Hey. Watch it, buddy. I think Conan is the best blend of progressive comedy and also like holding to like the traditions of the past. Spell check me on this. I think he's the oldest late night host currently. Really? Yeah, I mean,
that's a good guess.
The only other person that I could think of that could be close would be Letterman. No, Letterman's off. It's right, Colbert. Off now. Colbert might be his similar age.
No, I mean, Stephen Colbert hasn't been on as long.
No, I'm talking about age, not like running. Like, oh, got it. As oh, far as like from a previous.
Well, definitely running. He is.
Yeah.
He had late night at like 1992.
Late night forever, and then all that stuff. Anyways, so a lot of interesting things come out of this. The future Conan. Of late night. What's got to go? Conan. We should do an episode on Conan. That would be awesome. He's got so much material.
He does.
Another interesting thing that you at home can watch on your internet devices: comedians in cars getting coffee with Jerry Seinfeld and Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Twigs.
Yeah, Kristen Twigs. They go to LA, they go to a pie shop, they drink some coffee. And it's interesting. I loved a lot of the early comedians in cars getting coffee because it seemed like a lot of genuine relationships that Jerry had. But this one, I was kind of like, okay, he's kind of like
exhausted.
Hey, I kind of know you. Right. And like, we met that one time, so they kind of bring in a little backstory.
Well, yeah, he's exhausted all of his buddies, his showbiz buddies.
Yeah.
So now he's doing people he's not familiar with.
Right.
I'm pretty sure his first kind of branch out with that was when he did it with Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're BFFs.
I don't know if they even,
But, yeah, I think he's trying harder to just take, you know, any old comedian, any old, you know, comedy actor and then, you know, pick their brain and figure it out. If you haven't seen Comedians in Cars with Coffee, go see it. It's so fun. You get to like see Jerry Seinfeld, who's a legend, talk to all these legends and kind of pick apart their brain or share stories or, you know, just kind of talk about what makes them tick.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Kristen Wiig doesn't really seem like in this episode, she doesn't really seem like somebody you would want to put on a stage. She's kind of like, yeah, I get nervous at dinner parties, and you're like, what? That's so funny.
And she talks about that too,
She, like, owns SNL. Like, she owned SNL when she was on.
And still does in a lot of ways. Right. It's like people, especially in the last 10 years, can only talk about her sketches.
And Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters just killed it. No, it's funny just seeing Jerry, because he's lost a lot of charisma in my mind. He's looking at, like, pies at a coffee shop, and like he's kind of moved into the, like, he's always kind of had dad humor, I'm doing air quotes, dad humor throughout the 80s and 90s, but now he kind of is like that dad humor role,
right.
And he's also like dad aged. He's like, I don't get it, these hipsters and these pies, what, do you get a pie in the morning, get a pie at dinner, when can you not have a pie?
No, that is the 80s 90s Jerry. That's like energy.
Well, okay,
he's now, he's just dropped some octaves. He's just like, I don't get it, what's with the pies here,
that's a nice dog. He literally says at the end of the episode, they like go up to some dogs and Jerry's comment is, that's a nice dog, like can't think of a joke anymore. No, just kidding, Jerry still got it.
Yeah,
we love the show. But that's all I got for news.
On with the show?
Yeah, on with it. What do you got? What's going
on? So here's what we're talking about this episode. Why is my birthday funny? It's not funny. I'm just getting to pick the topic. And the topic is...
What was that noise?
That was a bugle in the distance.
Like the little like twister chips?
Yeah.
Like somebody's salty. Playing a chip. You can put on the tips of your fingers and pretend you're a witch.
We're talking about Major Payne.
Oh!
Got ya. So, yes. So here's a little brief intro to Major Payne and what that is. Damon Wayans of the Wayans brothers and families and all the Wayans. He was fresh out of his 90s comedy special, Damon Wayans' Last Stand, which, I don't know.
Was it his last stand?
Is that, like, just saying that you're done right there?
I guess so.
But he wasn't. He started a screenplay for his next project, and that project turned out to be Major Payne. This is all I care about. It's a Harris family staple.
Okay.
We've watched it, you know, growing up, and we love it. Here's the other thing. It's a Signs family fart in the wind. They didn't watch it.
No.
RJ has never seen this movie until I told him what I wanted to cover, and he watched it for the first time. So that's why it's a study in nostalgia. I love this movie. It can do no wrong for me. RJ's never seen it until now, and he's going to criticize it, and he's going to tell me what he really thinks.
No, I loved it.
Well, see, that's the thing.
Just kidding.
See, no, that's the thing. I want to know if I can trust Childhood Ben. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't throw me under the bus for this, but I remember that I only saw Goonies when I was older, and I was like, Goonies, more like Boonies.
Nice.
Everyone was like, what? You don't love Goonies? It's got the truffle shuffle. And I'm like, come on. It's not that good. It's long, and there's a weird-looking dude.
There you guys.
Yeah. I was like, dude, I don't get it. But everyone loved it. So this is the study of nostalgia. I loved it. RJ never saw it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So Ben says, I want to watch Major Payne. I'm like, oh, okay, that Wayans Brothers movie. And then I remembered the only interaction. I mean, I've seen some of the stand-up here and there, like clip shows or whatever. Not like a full special, but... The only interaction I've had with the Wayans brothers...
White chicks.
No. I've seen that billboard, though. Was about, gosh, I want to say 6 months ago, I was doing some work in Hollywood.
Okay.
Name drop.
Holly Weird.
Or if you've seen the sign recently, Holly Weed.
Oh, yeah.
I had to go to this one production store. I was going to look at some lights. And the building that Google address gave me was this large building in Hollywood, very typical, like production house, whatever. Sure. So I go up to the door to what I think is this building for this company. I had been driving for an hour and a half in traffic. I've been wearing my sunglasses and I've been all alone listening to podcasts. So I'm a little bit of in a haze. Like, I'm like, okay. Like, so I open the door as I walk in. It's a very dark room. Okay. There's like no lights on for whatever reason. They have the blinds shut in here. And I take off my glasses and like let my eyes kind of adjust. You know that like millisecond when your eyes are like, ooh. And I like look and I'm like, my brain's like, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, like scanning. And it's like.
You're Terminator-ing?
Yeah. Six different people. And they're all African-American, which, okay, great. Maybe they own the business. That's fine. And then instantly, one of the gentlemen turns and walks over to me so fast. And I, like, stopped. And he goes, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, I... And he goes, don't you know this is a black people party? What? And I was like, wait, what?
That's a thing?
And instantly, they all start dying laughing.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like... Wait, what? Like, I'm so sorry. I'm looking for this production house. I'm trying to get some lights. And they're like laughing hysterically, oh like doubling gosh. Over, like giving me hugs and like high-fiving me. And I'm like, I feel like a complete idiot because I don't know where the hell I
what
am.
What does this have to do with anything?
That's where the Wayans brothers work. That was like their headquarters. That was like their writing
really?
Staff. I like walked into the Wayans brothers headquarters.
So that's what you get.
And a bunch of their like comedic staff just, what's the term? Hosed me.
Yeah, serious.
It was like kind of alarming. I had no and again, anybody in the world, you walk into a room is poorly lit and someone yells at you, this is a black people party. Like, what the heck's going to happen?
Even if you're black, it's like, wait, why are you telling me that?
So that's my only interaction with the Wayans brothers as an entity. So going into this movie, you could say
you're fresh.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, this, I have high expectations.
Yeah, because they got you good.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Ah, that's funny. My mouth hurts.
So thanks for listening to the podcast.
Bye, guys. No, okay, so now this is what's going to happen. I am going to recite the plot as I remember it, and RJ has written notes from when he was watching the movie for the first time. He's going to recall his impressions as I go through the plot. Are you guys ready? Here we go. This movie starts. It opens on Major Payne. He's in Guatemala, I think, and he's on a recon mission, and he's, like, killing people.
It's just the classic, like, bullet sounds in the background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's obviously, like, a trained Marine. Yeah, if you could be my Foley guy as I'm explaining this. He, like, rushes up to the top of this thing, drops down, and he gets the general. And he puts a gun to his head, and he goes, that's it. That's the general. He puts the gun to his head and goes, all right, like, we got you. And he's like, oh, you think you got us? And all these guys come out with guns. And he goes, okay. Well, and he takes the general's gun out of his pocket and sticks it in his butt and says, you guys can kill me, but I'll clean your colon out quicker than one of those burritos with extra guacamole sauce.
That's right. That's what he says. I wrote here, guacamole sauce, ? As if to say,
is that redundant?
Why do you need to say that it's sauce? But very well, proceed with the plot.
Okay, so he has captured the Guatemalans and he's back to the States. He goes to his colonel for instructions, and his colonel looks him in the eyes and says, that's it. You've done it all. You're out of here. We don't have any place for you. And he's like, what? Come on, I'm a trained killing machine. And they're like, sorry, all the battlefields are in Congress now. So he's like,
yeah, the direct quote I have is, there's no one left, comma, you killed them all. So this guy who's like this war hero is no longer allowed to be a war hero because he apparently has killed all everyone. The people who are needed to be killed. I don't understand.
It's amazing to me the things that I let slide because
when
I
you were
loved
five,
this.
Yeah, imagine that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, now he's off in civilian life and he can't stand it. There's an excellent little homage to Apocalypse Now where he's stuck in a single bedroom room and he's like sweating. He's got his shirt off and he's like. He's like punching stuff. He breaks a window.
Eats a rat.
He's getting hungry. And this is civilian life. He doesn't know how to live in civilian life. So he has to kill a rat to eat. So ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous for
but
sure.
So now he's like, okay, I'm going to go and I have to get a job. That's the worst thing I can do. I have to go get a job. So he goes and he applies for the police academy.
Oh yeah.
And he goes to the police academy and they give him a solid test. They say
it's like an interview.
Yeah it's like, here's a domestic violence dispute. Now can you like neutralize the situation? And he goes, okay, neutralize. And this woman goes, he hit me. And this is two actors.
Yeah.
And he walks up to the actors and goes, do you like hitting women? And the guy goes, what? And he just goes, he slaps him. Don't you ever hit women again. Hear me. And he keeps slapping this guy until he falls on the ground.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's funny, RJ.
It was funny in the sense that it was like, oh, wow, they got him out of the police academy that quickly. Like, he doesn't know how to interact with any human, apparently.
But he just knows how to kill.
Yeah, and for those of you who are trying to follow as to what this Major Payne character looks like, imagine like a normal African American gentleman, but with one gold tooth on his front two teeth.
Yeah.
And can't ever let his lower lip below
his
front
gums,
teeth, his top teeth. So you're always seeing his teeth. And
he's like talking like, One, damn it. He's like kind of high pitched kind of voice.
Yeah, it's a weird like Key and Peele character.
It really is. But okay, so now he needs to get back in the military. He's in jail because he assaulted this guy in a police interview. And the military guy helps him out. He says, you know what? I got you this job. You're going to train some ROTC kids at this junior high school. It's like an academy. That's what it is. Now he's got to train these kids. These kids are slackers, right? They don't care.
Yeah, but they're also kids. Like, I don't know. I was really empathizing with these kids. And it turns out one of these kids is deaf.
Yeah, he's deaf.
He's deaf. And they make a deaf joke, like, right away. And I'm just like, wow, I guess that's a real tell right there, what kind of movie this is.
Yeah, he introduces himself, and he starts going down the line with these kids. And they're school kids.
Yeah. Like, no, there's like a five-year-old.
Some of them are older.
One kid pees his pants.
Okay, wait, just let me get there. So he starts immediately just, like, completely making fun of all their physical appearances. He calls the fat kid fat. He makes him do sit-ups to make room for lunch. There's like a kid with like all these like medical issues, and he keeps sneezing, and so he makes him do push-ups because he keeps sneezing.
Makes fun of the kid with freckles.
Yeah.
Yeah, and okay, so this movie's marketed for children or adults? Children. This is just ammo for jackass children to say to kids who look like that. It's terrible.
This is made in 1995.
Okay, does that make it better or worse?
Yes, it was okay then.
Oh, okay.
But okay, so he now has met the like fake leader, this guy who really doesn't care. Now he's got his mission. He's going to make these kids care. So his object is have them hate me. So he just starts treating them like crap, and they immediately want to get revenge. So the super slacker kid, who's also kind of like a leader, he says, you want them gone? I'm taking care of them. It's going to cost you guys money. So they all pitch in, even the guy who was like supposed to be a brown noser. So they're going to pitch in. They pitch in, and in comes the motorcycle guy.
Yeah.
He's like a bruiser. He's a big like WWE wrestler looking dude. He comes out and just goes, are you Major Payne? You got to leave. And so they go, and he punches Major Payne in the face.
Yeah.
Right in the face. And he goes, oh, you're not going to like that you did that. I'm going to take my foot. I'm going to put it across your face. And the guy's like, what? Don't say that. And he punches him in the throat, kicks him in the calf, and he falls to the ground. He goes, oh, I thought you were going to kick me in the face. You call me a liar. And pow!
Kicks him in the face. Yep.
Okay.
So, that's the movie.
So now he's got to punish the squad for this, and he's going to, you know, take whoever did this and run him through the cheese grater. It's a turn of phrase that I just made up.
Oh, yeah,
And he finds out that Cadet Alex Stone, the like major slacker kid, is the one who was responsible. And he's the only one taking responsibility. And the kid,
Cadet Alex Stone, looks like he's 25, by the way, in case you were wondering.
He looks 18-ish.
If you look at the cast photo, you'll think, that's a very old 18-year-old.
So anyway, now he says, I think you should expel me. And Major Payne's like, what? And give you a vacation? You're in charge of everything now. Booyah.
What?
Game changer. So now he goes, well, if I'm in charge of everything, my first act of as king is to get rid of you. And he goes, oh, you really want me gone? And they go, yeah. He goes, you want me gone, boy. So then he says, if you want me gone, you got to go steal the trophy for the Virginia Military Games.
Right, from like their arch rival school.
Yep. Yeah. So then they go, we're doing it. Little do they know, they're bonding as a team.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's a good story.
And yeah, the story, it's kind of like the anti-parent trap, because like you hate the protagonist, and like he tries to unify a bunch of idiots together that have nothing, like no biological connection to them.
Sure.
So.
Just like the parent trap.
Yeah.
Reverse trap.
What's the anti-parent trap? Yeah.
The kid trap.
Sure. It's a kid trap. Great title for a movie.
This movie should be called Kid Trap. So now they go and they're going to steal from the thing. The littlest kid doesn't get to go because he's too little.
Oh, yeah. Because he's like 4.
He's too little. So then he's all sad in his bunk. So he goes in and he's going to cheer up the little kid, right? You know, he's like, hey, many little people did big things. You got Spike Lee. You got other people who are short. And then he says, what about the little engine that could? Oh, yeah. He goes, let me tell you that story. and he just straight up has a war flashback.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you think the little engine that could stopped when Charlie set an explosive on the bridge and it went, bow? And the kid's like, whoa. He's like, and then Bubba comes out of the woodwork and he's got no legs and little bloody nubs are kicking real fast. And the kid's like, ooh. He's like about to puke. And Major Payne's talking about all this stuff. And then the girl chimes in and goes, oh no, you're doing everything wrong. We should have dinner.
Yeah. her attraction to him is just beyond me because he is, you know, good of a figure as you're painting Major Payne, he's not an upstanding character. He's kind of mean, and he's kind of mean to the lady too. And then she's like, oh, but maybe we could go out to dinner and maybe you're way nicer. And then is that the dance? Yeah, yeah.
So then he is leaving the little kid, and before he leaves, he goes, to be continued. I'll tell you what Bubba used as a penis. And the kid's like, ugh.
What?
It's so weird.
It is so weird.
So then now they go to dinner and they're dancing because she wants Major Payne to cut loose. Right?
Yeah. And it's the weirdest song that they play. Is he singing it or is it the song that's playing?
The song that's playing. It's Two Live Crew.
Oh, right, right, right.
And it's a song called Pop That Coochie.
Right. Which, as far as I'm concerned, as slang goes, coochie does not mean butt. So the next logical conclusion I am drawn to is, why exactly is that a song in a children's movie? Like, that doesn't seem appropriate.
Because,
again, you have the same kids who are bullying the fat, the disabled, and the less fortunate in the looks department. Those same kids are running around singing Pop That Coochie in 1995.
No, they're not. Yeah. They watched it.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Well, blame Two Live Crew. They didn't write it.
Blame the Wayans Bros. No. Shame on them.
Okay, so now he has connected with the lady and they kiss. So then cut back to the kids trying to steal the trophy. They're doing a good job. They're splitting up. No, they're not. Major Payne totally ratted them out, and they get their butt whooped. They're like, what the heck? You ratted us out. Why'd you let us get our butt whoops? Butt whoops?
No.
Butts whooped.
Yeah.
And so they come back, and they're like all mad at him. So little do they know, they've been united as a team in their hatred of him. And now they are a team, but not fully yet. The next day, they wake up. It's parent-teacher day. Uh-oh. Conflict. The dad comes. He's a drunk. He's Michael Ironside. He's just flutzing around out there. He's
spoiler alert. Drunk daddy Uber coming over to beat his own son.
Oh, no.
It just got real.
Yeah, no, that's true. So he's just like stumbling in a field. The kid goes out and goes, what are you doing here? You're not my dad. He's like, I am your dad.
You shut the hell up, boy.
He goes, you will respect me. You salute me. He goes, you salute your superiors. You're not my superior. Whap. Kid gets slapped.
Pretty sad. Also funny. I thought it was funny. It was in good right? taste.
So
the kid deserved it, honestly. He was a jerk.
Oh, my gosh. So now kid's like, no, you're not my dad. I don't care about you. Dad goes for round two. He's feeling good. He reaches back strong. What's that? Major Payne steps in.
Shocker.
He says, you better not lay a hand on that boy. So he's like, okay, I'm not going to do that. And he says, see ya. Now he's like,
bye, drunk dad. He gets on Pete's Uber. Dragon and flies off into the sunset, which is actually a supernova, and they burn to a crisp.
So then now they see him as the father figure, and they're like, great. We're all on the same team, and we love this guy. So we're going to win the Virginia Military Games.
For reals.
They train hard. They're ready to go. And right before that, in comes a colonel. And the colonel comes to Major Payne and says, you know what? We do have a spot for you. Come back to the military.
There's like, more people to kill after all.
We found
spoiler alert,
more non-dead bodies.
This whole movie didn't need to happen.
So then he's like, great, I'm out of here. I miss the military. That's what I'm born for. Kids are like, what the heck? You're our father figure. He's like, I never said families don't break up. Ain't you never watched Oprah?
Which should have been Maury. Because that'd be in a real more appropriate, like, you are not the father. Major pain, because you'd be a terrible father. Also, I'm pretty sure he couldn't hold a stable relationship. So.
Yeah, I mean, with the flashbacks.
Yeah, I didn't, no, none of that.
Okay, so now he's off to the military. Kids got to go to the games. They're like, what are we going to do? We don't have to go. Sweet. And the main leader kid's like, I'm going. I worked hard for this. I'm going to earn my keep. They're like, okay, we'll support you. They go to the games. They're winning. They're doing great. Normally, they suck. This is just
heavyweights?
Heavyweights all over again.
Wow. Nice.
Good mind read. So they do great. Everything's great. It's the last thing. They run as hard as they can, and the leader kid gets tripped at the end. It was intentional. You got to let this... We got second because he tripped him.
Oh, no, the race.
So then one of the teammates comes up and punches a kid in the face, starts a big fight. It's like, ah! Meanwhile, Major Payne is about to leave, but he gets all nostalgic. Hashtag theme.
Hashtag Mari.
And he has a daydream where he envisions himself with wife and kids fighting ninjas, and that sends him back to the kids, right?
Reverse Maury Povich syndrome.
Back to the kids?
Yes.
So now the kids are in a fight, and the ref has said, you know what, we're going to disqualify the kid that started the fight. That means that they don't have their leader for the marching section. He goes, these kids are so lame, they don't even have a leader. And he goes, ain't no need for name calling.
Oh.
That's his big reveal when he comes back.
Oh, yeah, because they don't know that he's in.
Right.
But we already knew it, so, okay.
Sorry. So then now it's the last thing. They have to do the parade thing. They stomp the yard, and they do it, and they win.
Yeah.
The little kid subbed in for the kid that needed to run it, and he did a big thing because he's a little kid.
Blind dude did some rifle spins.
Yeah, that was the best part.
That was, honestly, they could have just put him in.
I know, right?
And that's it.
It's really cheesy. It's so cheesy. But now...
But you love it.
I do. But they win, and it's... year number two, they got a new squad, and they say, yeah, I'm Major Payne, and now I'm gonna be your leader. And he goes, what the heck is that? And there's a dog in the field. Why would there be a dog in the field? One kid goes, he's mine.
But clearly it's like a kid holding like the specific leash for a seeing eye dog. So it's not like, if you've never seen a seeing eye dog before, then you're like, why are you just holding the dog on a leash? But it's like that like metal brace thing
that, like, and the kid guides him,
and the kid is clearly staring off into the abyss. So I don't know.
So he goes, why do you know there's no pets on the premises? He goes, I don't think that doesn't apply to me. It's a blind seeing eye dog. And he goes, why would you want with a blind dog?
And the dog goes, a right wrong.
He goes, I'm the one that's blind, you idiot. And then the Major Payne shaves his head, showed him.
And the dog, too.
End scene. Cut. The whole movie ends on him laughing.
At a blind kid.
Boom.
Roasted.
Synopsis, synopsized.
Take that, kids with disabilities. You got told.
You burnt.
Yeah, burn.
So that's the plot.
Wow.
Here's the question, though. Why is it funny?
You need to tell me first, and I'll weigh in on your reasoning.
So this is why I say it's funny. I think this movie is funny because it's a kid's movie. It's a fun kid's movie.
Oh, sure.
But it has a ton of adult jokes. Damon Wayans has created this ridiculous, over-the-top juxtaposition of a character that RJ's air quoting at me. he's such a juxtaposition. He's a killer, but he also cares, right?
I'm doing air quotes again.
He's just air quoting. But this movie doesn't take itself seriously. It's cheesy, but darn it, I just ate it up.
Yeah, clearly. And it was funny because I remember you talking to me about this, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm sure like it's kind of faded off, like just the wear and tear over the years of better films and being a critic and an editor. But no, you seem very giddy just talking about this film in great length.
Because I have rose-colored glasses. Like, this movie is just nostalgic for me.
I guess so, which, you know, kind of presents a bigger problem which is like, are we at all able to take off the rose-colored glasses for things that we like?
Like Will Ferrell and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, I like Will Ferrell, but, like, does that mean that all of our material is tainted with rose-colored glasses?
Or? No, I don't think so, because I mean, we did grow up with these people, but, like, this was something that, like, our family obsessed over.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm not really trying to spur that whole conversation.
You just did kind of just launch us into a big existential question.
Sorry about that. But yeah, so my retort to your why is it funny, it's very similar. I think this movie, you know, it's a comedy, but I don't know why it's a kids movie. It's like funny in the sense that like there's some strange adult jokes sprinkled in on this kids movie. So like it's funny if you're an adult who kind of still likes kids movies, but you hated watching kids movies growing up because there wasn't enough like curse words and like sexual innuendos. So now you're a 25-year-old and you're like, I want to watch some like kid movie, but like have it be way crazier and stuff. And so this is your movie for you, pal. Yeah. There's a bunch of weird stuff in here. So yeah, I was air quoting this line. Damon Wayans, air quote, created a, air quote, ridiculous over-the-top juxtaposition, end air quotes, of a, air quotes, character that's a, air quotes, killer that, air quotes, cares. This is not a crazy character. It's a dude with a lisp. And he's not a killer. We don't see him kill anyone, ever, once.
You know about.
They talk about it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think he just got
they
out of
they said he killed everyone. There's no one left to kill.
It's the Matrix, dude. They got to get him out into a new system.
There is no spoon.
Yeah, exactly. So, and he doesn't even care. I don't know. I think that is true, though. He does kind of end up liking the kids, and that's kind of like a redeeming factor. But, yeah, to your point, it doesn't take itself seriously. It doesn't at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't, and it's a lot of silliness. I think my biggest criticism, it doesn't know what it is. If it's a kids movie, why are there these jokes that kids wouldn't know what this means? I guarantee you no one knows what pop that coochie means. And I guarantee you if my 5-year-old son said that to me, I'd slap him up the side of the head harder than that stepdad did in the movie.
Well, oh my gosh. Well, here's the thing. I watched this when I was like, I don't know if I was 5.
Jeez.
I might be throwing my parents under the bus. I think I watched this when I was like 8 or 9.
That sounds fair.
But so, even in those moments, I couldn't, like, watching this movie now again, I laughed, but also I was in amazement when I heard that song. I was like, oh, gosh. But I didn't realize it when I was watching it as a little kid.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that kind of go over your head, like, I mean, kind of bring it back around, if you will. Why the chicken crossed the road kind of goes over your head in a bit. But after you've been around the block a few times, you kind of look at that joke and you go, that's a suicide joke.
You're still
that's
on
messed
that.
Up. I am still on that.
I
dang
can't
it.
Believe you actually believe that that is the punchline.
You don't have to believe it. It's there.
You believe it.
You don't have to believe it, man. There's no belief involved.
Yes, there is.
He wanted to get to the other side
of the road.
That's not in the sentence.
Yes, it is.
He wanted to get.
Why
to
did the chicken
other...
cross the road? Because he wanted to get to the other side of the road.
That's not. That doesn't. I don't have to argue with you, man. Whalers, you can decide for yourself.
Oh my gosh.
But
well, there you go. That's major pain.
That's a lot
ridiculous.
Of pain.
Yeah.
To watch.
Okay.
So maybe you grew up watching this movie.
Yes. Please write in if you've seen this movie, if you haven't seen it, and you listen to our synopsis and you're like, I don't understand it. Or if you think it's funny from our synopsis, or if you've seen it and you think it's funny, help me out. Write in. Let's take down the big bad RJ.
Take down corporate America.
You're so good. Okay, so now you know what that means.
It's time for hashtag. Wait, no, sorry. Oh, thank you. I totally got confused, and then the song cut me off. But no, yeah, that's. I get it.
Okay, yes, it's time for Ben's wacky facts. This is the part of the show where I say some wacky facts. And RJ rates them on a baseball field. RJ.
Yes.
R. U.
J.
Ready.
Oh, ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah, you want to take any longer thinking of one question?
Here we go. Here's fact number one. just before Major Payne removes his sunglasses, when the cadet throws the gun in the air, there's a part in the training montage, he throws it and another cadet catches it.
Okay.
And he's like, does the sunglass drop, like, oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Viewers at home can't see what I'm doing, but I'm grabbing my glasses and going, oh.
Like the glasses drop below the eyes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
To look at it. He's wearing like aviators and you can fully see the camera crew.
Oh, yeah. I totally saw that.
Really? You saw that?
Yeah. You're so right. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
There's like a, it's like a split second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
he drops him right away. But right before that, you see a camera.
Yeah. Isn't that ridiculous? Funny. And it's not that wacky.
Well, so, then you don't need to put it on the field.
No, let's put it on the field.
Here's fact number two.
Strike one.
No, because the next one is just as bad. When the guys are running away trying to take a picture of Major Payne.
Herman Cain.
Better movie. When they run away and Heathcote is in the dress, you can see a sandbag on the floor in the hallway
from production.
Yes, and that one I saw for sure. It's like super obvious.
Well, there's a bunch of production mistakes. I mean, even the production error with the kid with the dress thing. They had a costume mix-up. They had to address it in the film.
They say he just changes jokes, or he changes dresses, and they make a joke about it.
I think it was a continuity error, and they had to address it in the scene because they couldn't find the old dress. There's so much of that. It's like they just, let's put together a script. No. I don't buy it. There's too many mistakes.
Okay, so they made some mistakes. Put those on the baseball field.
Strike one and strike two, respectively.
Oh, I don't think I've ever struck out. Oh, no.
Yeah, this one better be wacky.
Okay. Here we go. Here's wacky fact number three. Damon Wayne's character in the movie is dancing to the Two Live Crew song.
So help me God.
Pop That Coochie. Interestingly enough, Wayne's was having a real life feud with Two Live Crew at the time. He told a joke about the crew in his comedy special, Damon Wayne's The Last Stand. He called them gangsters with microphones, which apparently was offensive to them. This prompted them to make fun of him in the same album in a song called I Ain't BSing Ill or Three.
Probably Three.
Three. But in that same album was the song they used in the movie.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
Isn't that nuts? They were making fun of him, and he used the song in his movie.
I mean,
kind of like getting back at him, right?
I mean, I'm pretty bummed because I was hoping I would never have to say the word coochie again this episode.
You didn't have to.
I wasn't planning on saying that word at all today, or at all in 2017 for that matter, but I've already doubled my quota for the next decade.
I'm sorry that I helped you break your resolution.
Ugh. It wasn't even a resolution. I've been like on a coochie free life for forever.
Oh no. That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so rate that. Oh my gosh. Please rate the facts.
I hate myself, and I hate this movie, and I hate that word, and I hate you. But that was relatively wacky fact.
Yes. Crown roll double, I'll take it.
God, I hate this so much.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a guy up to bat.
Yeah.
And he goes to throw the ball, and it's just Major Payne. And he goes, and he hits the ball, and it just goes straight towards the stands.
Yeah.
But then it turns into a child midair, and then all of a sudden the fans like really start to worry about it.
Oh,
so everyone's
gosh.
Rushing to catch him, but instead Major Payne just decides to kill him in midair.
Oh my gosh, where does he land?
Doesn't land anywhere.
What?
There's no remains of his body.
So that's a home run, right? If he doesn't hit the ground, they can't tag him out.
Nope.
Sweet. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Those were some wacky facts, or at least one.
That got too wacky.
That was way wacky. Okay, people, we're moving on in the show. Normally, this is hashtag whale mail of the week.
Ding!
But instead of that, we are going to insert RJ's birthday questions. RJ's questions for Ben's birthday.
Hashtag RJ's Ben's birthday questions.
Hashtag confusing.
Hashtag spoiler alert. Yeah, so I thought of a couple questions that you could go through, or a few questions. But one question, we kind of talked about this on our music episode, but is specifically relating to movies.
Okay.
If you have one comedy that you get to watch for the rest of your life on a desert island, what comedy is that?
Ooh.
And you're by yourself, so you don't need to worry about
other people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Changes
that everything. Helps a lot, actually. Yeah. Oh man,
so you can watch Major Pain as much as you want.
I don't think I would last. It's not substantial.
It would last 2.5 days before it turns into firewood.
Like a good comedy is like a good T-bone steak, you know, and that's just candy. You can't survive on candy.
Farva beans.
Oh, man, that's an excellent question. I don't know what to say.
Well, it's lightning round. 5, 4, 3.
Yeah, I think I would say I'd go with Stranger Than Fiction.
All right, that's a good answer. Next question. Can you think of one of the hardest times you've laughed before 5 minutes ago where I was forced into an awkward situation repeating a word that I didn't like to say?
What, just ever?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember one time... In junior high, me and my friend were making jokes, and then we would throw our faces in a pillow because it was late.
So you didn't want to wake up.
We didn't want to wake people up.
Don't wake daddy.
Yeah, we're trying to mask our laughs, and my braces got caught in the knitting of the pillow.
Oh.
And I was laughing so hard that I started to puke up my Doritos.
While attached to the pillow?
Yes, they started coming out of my mouth and nose, and it was just covering my face. And there was I disposed of the pillow.
I just want to know two things. One, did you stop laughing?
No, it got funnier.
It got funnier as you were
Yes, yes.
Number two, what kind of pillow is like knit to the point where you get a brace stuck in it? Any other normal pillow?
No. You don't understand. The braces are like, the hooks are facing your teeth. So yeah. If you get your hooks in there, like, it's really hard to get it off.
Yeah. I mean, like a dense pillow, like a typical pillow doesn't have that ability.
It was like, yeah. It was thick woven.
Yeah.
Its thread count was very low, okay?
8 thread count pillow. Oh my gosh. That's really funny, actually. Wow. I'm glad.
That's definitely the hardest I've ever laughed.
Wow, I'm glad you have that memory. Well, good thing my birthday is just around the corner.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
totally
make you sit through an unbearably impossible movie and
deal.
See what happens. But I'm excited. Next week, we'll be talking about one of our beloved favorite comedians and critically acclaimed, hilarious, funny man, Jim Gaffigan.
It's always a good time.
Which will be perfect because his special will be coming out.
Yeah.
In time for that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm still recovering. So, RJ, where can people find us on the internet?
You can find us on the internet, on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, Stitcher. You can also find us on our Twitter page, which is @WhalePod. We also are on Facebook at... It's just normal. Why am I laughing? ?
Deal.
So just on Facebook. It's really easy. And the email that you can find us, where you can send us videos, images, questions, requests. The email is whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com.
Is it whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com?
That is correct.
Okay. Deal. You can always find RJ on the Twitterverse @RodolphoTheBrown.
And you can always find Ben on Twitter @MariPoppins.
Isn't it Maury?
I thought it was Mari.
You've said it so many different ways.
You say Mari, I say Mary, Maury.
You say Mary Poppins.
I'm Mary Poppins, Dazzy.
You guys have to come back every Why Am I Laughing Wednesday to get a new episode. If you subscribe, they go straight to your phone. You'll get new episodes right there. You can, we got to thank Ben Sound for our theme musics. He's a great guy. Check him out at bensound.com. Other than that,
we out.
We out.
Also,
you okay, buddy?
I almost Dorito puked all over the microphone.
Not with braces, no.
Oh my gosh. Well, that leaves us with the same old adage, which is something that we say every week.
Yeah.
And that is, comedy is all about
Maury.
Inappropriate slang words.
Bye, everyone.
Peace.